Well, Barb already beat me to it a little bit earlier and going around and saying thank you. But I'm going to do it right now anyways again. And Barb and Julie, I say thank you. I know there's a lot of people that are involved in doing it, and you already mentioned some of that. But Julie, I'm going to put you on the spot just because I'm going to talk about it. I looked back there, and we have the water dispenser. And the water dispenser was, the jug was empty. And I turned to Osborne, and I go, I'm going to have to go fill that with water. And somebody asked me something, and I ran to do something, and I came back. It was filled with water. And I went over to Osborne and go, did you fill that with water? And he goes, no. Somehow Julie had known it, and she went and filled it. And that's just amazing, because it wasn't like she'd been asked. She just saw something that needed to be done, and she did it. And so yesterday, I know that Barb and Julie were here early getting set up, and others were helping them, and things going on. And we had a great big thing going on with the pizza, and Barb's all frantic about the pizza. And, oh, no, we got to get it here. And you know, just being able to work together and do things, it was awesome. So thank you, Barb and Julie, for putting all that together and running it. Yeah, definitely. And I finally got home about 11 o'clock last night. And when I got home, Don was actually on Facebook. Well, at least his Facebook said he was on. So he and I were going back and forth. And I didn't ask him for permission to do this. And he's going to get mad at me, but yeah, it's okay. And we were going back and forth. And I said it on Facebook to him, but I'm going to say it publicly. And I told him thanks for all he does. And before I left here, I drove to Salem last night to take some of them home. And before I left here, I said, Don, I'm going to say this, and I know you're not really going to listen to much of it, but I don't want you to stay here all night vacuuming and cleaning and things like that. I said, I know you're going to do it anyway, but I'm going to tell you. And I told him it's more important to have him in service and have him than it is to have the place clean. And yet it all got cleaned. And I told him that I appreciate. I don't know if all of you know how much he actually does around here. But Don, I say thank you, and I appreciate all you do. Yeah. And Carol too. Yeah, Carol, you're involved. I was on with Don, but the two of them. And Don will say, you could tell Don he does something great. And he'll go, no, Carol's the one who does it. And he's probably right, but... But there's a lot, all that to go and say, there's a lot of people who pitch in their part and do things, and that's what makes it fun and successful and allows things to happen, even when it doesn't go the way we plan or the way we expect it to. But, God has great things in store, I guess, and it's just kind of awesome to see it taking place. I'm going to go ahead and get started here. As you know, we've been going through this series, Christmas Originals. And as I was preparing for today's message, I kind of posted on Facebook, much like Pastor John did last week, but I posted kind of a question on Facebook or a statement. And I asked people to name a fascinating star. And I got responses like Ursa Major, which is... not really a star, but a constellation, a whole group of stars. It's the Big Dipper. And Polaris, some of you may know, is the North Star. Somebody even said the Sun, and you may know that our Sun is actually a dwarf star, a little small one. Somebody said that you can actually go and have a star named after you if you want. There's a place you can go online, and somewhere out in outer space, there's going to be a star called Val Watkins. No, it's not there yet. You could even do that as a Christmas gift for somebody. Okay. Yeah, hint. But what I was looking for, and I got some of these responses, were kind of earthly stars, I guess, if you wanted. Someone said Pee Wee Herman. Someone else said Channing Tatum. Some guy actually said James Earl Jones. Okay. Somebody even said, Jesus Christ, superstar. You know that 70s rock opera? Yeah. I have it on DVD if anyone wants to watch it. I've watched it with the youth a couple times. It's just awesome. And those may be fascinating stars, the ones that I've talked about. You know, and they're stars that entertain us. But the star that I want to speak about this morning from God's Word is a star that is more spectacular and more fascinating than any earthly star. A star that was not created for earthly entertainment, but for a divine purpose and for a plan that was connected to the birth of Christ. I have a little video clip that I want for you to watch before we continue on. So go ahead, James. Now, this is nowhere on my notes, but it's kind of hard to talk about the star without talking about the wise men, because they're so closely connected. And I don't know if you've been following along with this live nativity or this live scene that we've been doing over there, but there is no manger over there today. Because when the wise men showed up, Jesus was not a baby. And I think the video more accurately portrays that, where he was a child, an infant, you know, 2 or 3 years old he could have been. And so we got rid of that in the wise men. So all those of you who have been participating and helping with that scene over there, I say thank you. It was awesome. So we continue, though. The text for this morning is actually found in Matthew chapter 2. And it introduces us to what could easily be called the original Christmas ornament. You see, the Christmas star. So let's read about that in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And you can follow along in your Bibles if you want. Or James will be displaying it along up there for you to follow if you would like to do that. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. See, we see in the midst of all these verses a star. In verse 2, the Magi commented about it to King Herod. In verse 7, King Herod asked the Magi what time the star had appeared. And you see in verse 9 how the star traveled before them until it came to, and it stopped over the place where the child was. And then in verse 10, we see how the wise men were overjoyed. The Magi were overjoyed at it come to a stop. Their journey is coming to an end. But what about this star? This original Christmas ornament? What exactly was it? See, the Bible is to a large degree silent on the specifics of this star as to what it was. Some have suggested that maybe it was Jupiter. Or others have said Jupiter, it was a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn coming together to make the symbol of a fish. Maybe that's where the early persecuted church got their symbol that they used all the time. Some say that it might have been a meteor. And others say that it was a comet. But we just really don't know for certain what it was. What we do know is this. The star of Christmas, it speaks of God's glory. This star in the sky, I guess I should look that way because the stars are there, isn't it? This star in the sky was the original Christmas ornament. And it speaks about God's glory. What is your favorite kind of ornament? Christmas time, we decorate trees. Many people are especially fond of ornaments that sparkle and shine. Ornaments that reflect light are usually popular. They even have some that you can light up, and they make music nowadays. See, this original ornament of Christmas, the Christmas star, It was one that reflected God's light and God's glory. Why do people go outside at night and look up into a clear sky to look at all the stars? We're filled with fascination and wonder over all those stars, whether they're producing their own light or they're just reflecting light. You see, God set those stars into place in the heavens. And it is God that allows those stars to shine their light. All throughout the Bible, we find that light is associated with God's glory. It was through light that God led the way for his people to leave Egypt, and make their way to a new place, the promised land. See, the Bible says in Exodus 13, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so they could travel by day or night. And when God called Moses near to him on Mount Sinai, God's people saw the glory of God like a radiant light. In Exodus 24, it says, when Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai for 6 days. The cloud covered the mountain. And on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then God allowed Moses to inscribe the Ten Commandments onto the stone tablets. And when Moses returned to the people, the Bible says that Moses' face glowed with the light of God's glory. Verse 30 of chapter 24 of Exodus says, when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. Then when we move into the New Testament, when Jesus was transfigured on that mountain in the presence of James and John and Peter, the Bible says in Matthew 17, there he was, transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And then when the angels delivered the message of Christ's birth to those shepherds on the first Christmas, it was accompanied by God's glory, generally believed to be a great light. See, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, which we looked at a couple weeks ago, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. There is no mistaking the glory of God with light in the scripture. For even Jesus himself is called the bright and morning star. In Revelation 22, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you. This testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. God, his glory and light, consistent throughout scripture and very much present in that original Christmas ornament, the Christmas star. See, stars shine because God places them there and allows them to shine. And Christians, we shine because God's glory is reflecting on us. What kind of Christmas ornament are you? There's a story of a family, and every year at Christmas time, they would take all the decorations out and they would decorate their tree. And there was one particularly favorite decoration that they all had. It was an ornament that you could plug in, and it would light up. And they always found a way to put it right in the center of the tree, right where it was the focus of attention. And over years, it got a little bit dusty and a little bit dinged up and stuff. One year, the light bulb burned out. And then the next year, when it came Christmas time and they were decorating, that ornament never even made it out of the box. It had lost its appeal. And for several years, they decorated the tree and that ornament was left in the box. Then one year at Christmas time, as they were taking the decorations out, the father decided that he would try to restore this ornament. And he cleaned it up and he worked on it a little bit. He was able to get the bulb out and put the new one in, and this ornament would shine again. And it once again became the center of attention. It was the attraction point on the tree. May I suggest to you that that ornament of which I speak is the testimony of too many churches and too many Christian lives. Once allowing God's power to reflect in their lives and to manifest His glory, but then they failed to shine. The light of God's glory. Something happened over the time and they became tarnished or dingy, or the light just didn't shine anymore, and they became useless and unattractive ornaments. But the solution is simple. If we desire to be like that original Christmas ornament, the Christmas star that was full of God's light, full of God's glory, then we need to allow God's glory to be absorbed into our lives, made known in our lives, and then through each of us lived out through our lives. Let me ask you a personal and individual question this morning. Is your life like that original Christmas ornament? Are you allowing God's glory to be reflected through you? See, God wants to use each and every one of us as an instrument of His glory and His grace. But are we surrendered to Him? Are we surrendered to His will to make that possible? You see, not only does that star speak of God's glory, but it also speaks of God's guidance. Are you allowing God to guide you? Can I ask you another question? What is the guiding light in your life? I'm not talking about that soap opera that people watch during the daytime. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. What is the real guiding light in your life? If you say, yes, God is my guiding light, then it is because daily you are seeking to walk where Jesus would have you to walk. See, Jesus said in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you walking daily with the Savior, who is the light of the world? You see, that's God's guidance. Is that your guiding light? Are you looking to the Word of God? You know, the good news, the gospel, the Bible? That it might be a map by which God shines His guiding light to you through it? In Psalm 119, the psalmist wrote, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The original Christmas ornament, the Christmas star, it represented God's glory, but it also represented God's guidance. You see, the Magi, they were men who were obviously acquainted with the messianic prophecies. By this time, it had reached out into far places. And they had heard them, and they knew about them, and they had faith in them. They were obviously men who knew something about God's Holy Scripture and the prophecies that were contained within them. They weren't even God's chosen people. They weren't even the Israelites. But they had heard it, and they had faith in it. And because of that, they allowed God to guide them. They surrendered whatever their personal plans were to be a part of God's plan. Does that describe you and I? They sacrificed time and energy and personal resources to make their way to worship Him. Does that describe you and I? See, I'm convinced that the wise men, the Magi, they did it because of what they believed they would find. The gift. The gift. You see, the Magi, they were fascinated by the star. They followed God's guidance, and they found the greatest gift. So here are some men, the Magi, wise men, kings, astrologers, stargazers, call them what you want. But they must have been of some sort of status in the world around them at that time. You can gather this just by gauging the sort of gifts that they brought. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. See, those were rather elaborate gifts. Those gifts certainly would have been quality gifts for people of that day. And yet, all of their gifts, combined 1,000 times over, could not begin to compare to the marvelous gift of God that their eyes beheld as the star led them to the place where they found the Savior. Have you reached the place where the Magi reached? Has God, with His glory, guided you to the gift of Jesus Christ? The Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Not a gift with a bow or a gift in a bag, but rather a gift beyond the star, a gift given to a town called Bethlehem, a gift of a baby, Christ the Lord. See, not only did He come to live on this earth, but through His life, His death, His burial, and then His resurrection, He came as a gift to all who will receive Him. See, this morning, maybe you have never ever received that gift of God. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Today could be that day. You could receive that free gift. Maybe much like that ornament that I spoke about earlier. Somewhere along the line, you accepted Christ as your Savior. But over the years, you're a little dinged up, a little rusty, a little tarnished. Maybe the light just doesn't shine bright anymore. The Father can restore you. He can fix that light so that you shine bright again. God can do that. As the worship team is preparing to lead us in a time of response, I would invite you, if you've never, ever received Christ as your Savior, to come forward. The altars are open. You can receive Christ today. If you have received Him and yet something has tarnished you and you just want to recommit your life, I'd be willing to pray with you about it. To allow your light to shine again. You see, how many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? You see, only one did that for me. And only one did that for you.